Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Well, hello and welcome back to Your Career Podcast. Please excuse my rather throaty voice as I've just recovered from 6 weeks of laryngitis and I'm waiting for my normal voice to return. It's taking a little too long for my liking. Now, this episode is a little different as I was interviewed by Lee Woodward a little while ago, who runs the Real Estate Academy, training real estate professionals to excel in their field. Now, Lee asked me how real estate agents can leverage LinkedIn to build their business and attract their target audience.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
LinkedIn is a powerful and talked about tool, but often misunderstood by our industry. And joining us today is an international expert on the topic, studies it every day, and is part of that whole process, and that is Jane Jackson. Jane, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much, Lee. It's lovely to be here to chat to you.
Jane, tell us about you. How did you get involved in the space you're in and your experiences with LinkedIn?
Well, I'm a career management coach and I specialize in career development and career transition coaching. And so basically what I do is I help senior executives through the emotional roller coaster of career change as they're looking to transition into a new role or even into entrepreneurship. And over the past 15 to 16 years, I've been coaching all across Asia Pacific. And the reason why LinkedIn is so important is because all of my clients need to brand themselves powerfully so that they get noticed by their desired target audience, whether it's going to be another organization who will employ them or they're building their own business. And I've spent the past 8-9 years learning more and more about LinkedIn, and I use it so much for myself to brand my business because I run a coaching practice myself. And I found that through LinkedIn, I generate a lot of leads and inquiries, and it's such a powerful resource for me as a career coach that I think every professional, if they want to really build their business, they need to use it effectively. And consequently, in addition to career coaching, I do a lot of LinkedIn coaching too.
So when we look at your LinkedIn, and I know when I was looking for you and trying to find out about LinkedIn coaches and career coaches, your LinkedIn looks very different to mine. You can go to podcasts, you can go to videos. You've made a web business out of LinkedIn versus, and I didn't even ask this because I got so engaged in your own LinkedIn site. Do you even have a website or do you just use LinkedIn?
Well, if you'd explore more carefully, Lee, you'll see that there are a number of links that actually take you to my website as well. So I have a website, but the thing is that for most people, you know, who run businesses, the trick is to generate enough traffic to go to your website, and then people pay for search engine optimization and all sorts of things that can be very, very costly for your business in order to drive that traffic there. But what I do is I leverage social media, so I use LinkedIn a lot, plus a lot of other social media platforms as well. But I found that LinkedIn is the one that generates a lot of click-throughs to my website. And so the more I put into my LinkedIn profile, the more I realized that it worked. And that's why it almost looks like a website, doesn't it? You look at it and I've got a big cover image which has my slogan, which is Your Career Success is My Business. It's right up there at the top as a cover image. I have a professional photo of myself so people can, you know, see what I look like if we're going to be going for a meeting and they've never met me before. I use the tagline on LinkedIn very powerfully because it's got specific words that will capture the attention of my audience. And I have a good chat in my summary section, and then I add lots and lots of media. So, yeah, you can use LinkedIn almost as a standalone without a website. But what's useful is if you can drive traffic to your own website, once they land on your website, then you can get people to engage even more with you and your business.
If someone was wanting to choose LinkedIn as their web business, their profile page of career paths, and also for generating business, what's some of the coaching moments that you could share with us that would really give significant impact to their LinkedIn account?
Well, so many people are on LinkedIn and they don't really use LinkedIn effectively. They've set up an account because someone's invitation to connect. And many of my clients, when I'm working with them, I go and have a look at their LinkedIn profile and I really don't know anything about them after reading it because there's such little information. And a lot of professionals, they tend to use LinkedIn just as, it's almost like, just a presence, but once you land on it, you don't interact with it. And that's the wrong way to use LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, being social media, is a platform on which you can get to know each other. You can correspond with each other, but you can also learn about that other person and their skills, their knowledge, what they've got to offer. But not only that, there are lots of little tips and tricks I coach my clients on how to engage your audience so that it prompts them to take action and they can get to know your personality on LinkedIn. You know, sometimes when I'm looking at some of the LinkedIn profiles of others, it can look quite dry. So it's almost like a resume. But LinkedIn's not just a resume database. You can treat it as such, but it's much better to use it as a way of networking and getting to know individuals. I think maybe the top tip would be is, first of all, obviously have your name up there, and above your name have a very, very professional profile photo. Too many people use happy snaps from parties or whatever, or else they've cut out someone who's got their arm around them. That really doesn't give a professional look. So have a professional photo just of your head and shoulders, nice, can see your eyes, have good eye contact with the camera and a nice warm smile so people, you know, can feel the warmth coming from you. But secondly, a very, very important part is that tagline underneath your name. The default is your job title at whatever company you're working on. And most people just leave it at that. But your job title might not mean anything. I do a lot of coaching at one company. I'm called an executive consultant. But if I put executive consultant at this company, what does that mean? Nothing really. So what I've done is I've tailored my tagline to say author of Navigating Career Crossroads, because I've written a book and it's all about career crossroads and that's my business. So that gives you the keyword author and navigating career crossroads. So it positions me as an authority in that area, and that is my area of specialization. I put down keynote speaker because I speak, trainer because I do workshops, LinkedIn coach because I coach on LinkedIn, career coach because that's my business. And so those are all keywords that if you're searching for someone like that, you'll probably notice that I'll come up. Profile photo and tagline, top priority when you're setting up your LinkedIn profile.
So for a professional real estate agent working a certain sector, suburb, or area, what would be the tip there of their tagline?
Okay, well, obviously you'll need to put real estate agent or property agent or however you want to be known. But if there's a specific area, say if it's going to be the Northern Beaches or it's going to be Adelaide, CBD or whatever it is, I'd put down that area as well. Even though you can put, there's a field in LinkedIn where you put your location. Where your location is might not be the area that you're focusing on when you're actually selling your properties. So I would put the agent that you are or whatever your job title might be, I would put real estate or investment or property or residential or commercial or whatever it is that you focus on, and then your specific area if you are focusing only on one area.
I had a great one who connected with me the other day. I accepted the invitation, which is a conversation we'll have. He's actually said, sales trainer seeking job in Adelaide. So it was very clear to me who he was, what he was trying to do. Now, I didn't have a gig for that area, but I thought that was quite intelligent that within one click at his profile, I could see what he does and what he wants to do all in one run.
He's highlighted the fact that he's in between jobs or he's not happy in the area that he's in. And because in that tagline, it only gives a certain number of characters that you could put in there. Rather than seeking a new job or seeking an opportunity, I'd rather use those words and change them to their area of expertise. So if he's a sales trainer, perhaps maybe he's a real estate sales trainer. That would have been more powerful, because if you were searching for one, he'd pop up. But whether he was available or not right now, if he was someone who was compelling enough and you needed someone with those skills, you'd probably try and headhunt him anyway.
What's the next tip you have for strengthening the profile before we look at behaviour on LinkedIn?
Your summary profile, which is not in the defaults when you're setting it up, you need to actually go and add a section called summary. That comes just underneath your tagline and where you're located. And so in that summary, many people just, you know, copy and paste their resume summary basically in there. So it's a bit dry and it's written in third person. What I recommend is think about who you want to attract and then write as if you're writing to that one person. It'll either be your hiring manager, your target audience, someone who is struggling to find a property and they want a really good, you know, real estate agent perhaps. Tailor it so it's talking to them. What I do in mine is I start with the very first sentence. Rather than talking about me, I talk about their problems. I'm a career coach, so what I say is many people find it a challenge to manage their careers effectively, especially when they're not sure of their true passion and direction. So I'm talking to someone who's feeling a little bit lost in their career and they don't really know what they want to do or how to go about it. And in my next paragraph, I put, if you're at a crossroads and feeling stuck, let's take care of the tough stuff and work together to develop a clear plan of action, etc. So what I'm doing is being very conversational. I want to be appearing as warm and fuzzy as a coach. So that's why I've used the words that I've used in that. And then after that, I go into my credibility, you know, how many years I've been working, how many people I've coached, a couple of testimonials. And then I have a bullet-pointed list of my keywords, and for me it's career coach, speaker, presenter, career development workshop, confidence building, etc. For a real estate agent, then obviously you need to think about what your keywords are. It could be negotiating or auctions, etc., just so that people know what else it is that you can do. One really important thing is at the end of the summary, to make life easy for everybody, if they think, you're the one I want to contact, put in your email address and your contact phone number, maybe even a social media handle. If you've got a Facebook page or a Twitter account, put that there too, so that even without being connected to you, people can pick up the phone right away or email you right away without having to pay for an in-mail, which is what LinkedIn makes you do if you're not in any way, shape or form connected to that individual.
Fascinating. And that summary isn't part of the standard setup. It's something you would fill in. Is there a place on LinkedIn where you can engage your phone number, or should it be in copy as suggested just then?
There's an extra section that is there that LinkedIn provides you, which is advice for contacting this person. And so, say if it's for you, you just have a look down the list of all of the sections that you can add when you're in the edit profile section and add advice for contacting Jane or Lee or whoever you are, and put down your email address and your mobile phone number or your landline, whatever you feel most comfortable with. But I do suggest that you add it also in your summary, because that will be in your public profile. And if someone reads your summary in the public profile, even if they're not on LinkedIn, they can still contact you. And isn't that the point? You want people to find you somehow, whether they're on LinkedIn or not. And because LinkedIn is such a powerful site, if you Google anybody, if they're on LinkedIn, more often than not, it's the LinkedIn profile that will come up at the top of the search on Google too.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Google favours LinkedIn over Facebook and normal sites, so that's a good reason. What is the reason for that?
Mainly because they've got over 400 million members globally, and they are pushing their own brand so heavily, and everything that they've got within their site is optimized for search. And because Google keeps changing their algorithms, you never really know what's going to make you turn up or not. But LinkedIn also changes their own search algorithms. But they have so many backlinks and links to articles that they have also posted onto Google too, that they seem to favor each other. And right now, LinkedIn is encouraging people to add video and YouTube video onto their profiles. And obviously YouTube belongs to Google, and that helps in the rankings even more.
What about Vimeo as video rather than YouTube?
I tend to use YouTube because there are more followers on YouTube and it has a greater reach. Vimeo is excellent as well. However, what I've noticed is whenever you look for anything, even if you're Googling, like, how do I do something, there will be YouTube videos that come up more frequently than Vimeo videos. So I think YouTube being part of Google has a more powerful reach.
Jane, great information. What else is critical in your profile to include as part of these coaching tips?
Okay, well, obviously your professional experience, where you work, the name of your company, brief description on what the company does, as well as what your role is there. And if we're talking about a real estate professional, also have your accomplishments bullet pointed within your professional experience. So if you, you know, over exceeded, you know, your KPIs for a certain month or a quarter, or you're the top salesperson in a certain region year on year, please do add that as well. Any awards that you have, include them, because that helps with all of your credibility. So fill in every section in your professional experience so that people can see what your career path is, whether you've had a real estate career for all of your life or whether you've made a transition from one industry into another one into real estate. It's perfectly fine to have your background because it gives people a more well-rounded view of you. And if they get to know what your background is, they may feel a little bit more familiar with you. And you know, with sales, you've got to know someone, like someone, and trust someone before you're actually going to purchase their services or buy anything from them, really. Be open and honest with what you've done. And if you've done some really good things and you've been recognized for it, people worry about the tall poppy syndrome in Australia, and they don't like to put too many accolades in their LinkedIn profile. But honestly, if you don't, how are people going to find out about it? So don't be shy. Obviously, don't oversell yourself. But if you've done good, you've been recognized, then do add in that award and accomplishment as well. Another way of building more credibility on your LinkedIn profile is to include recommendations. So once you're connected to someone, you can actually request for a recommendation of your work from them. And all you need to do is to send them a personalized note via LinkedIn asking for the recommendation. And if they speak highly of you, then people, when they go through your profile, will be able to see that, yeah, you're not just putting anything on your profile. Someone else is putting their reputation on the line to say, yeah, what you've got in your profile is true and you are good at your area of expertise.
Does the number of recommendations give you more power in your profile, or is it just an adding source?
The more recommendations you have, the better, because when you get recommendations, if someone says, you know, you're a great salesperson, or a great career coach, or whatever your keywords are, that contributes to the search when someone's looking. So if it's going to be real estate and someone in a recommendation has said, one of the best real estate agents I've ever worked with, then you see that the word real estate comes up again in that recommendation. If it comes up in 10, 15 additional recommendations, well, even better, because the more times you get a keyword hit when someone's doing a search, the more likely you'll be pushed up to the top of the search.
How many videos are you allowed to have in your personal profile area of your searchable content?
Now, LinkedIn, obviously, they're changing all the time, and you may have noticed that LinkedIn actually has a new look now that has been rolled out over the past 6 weeks or so. And in the next few weeks, everybody will have the new look. Some people still have the old look LinkedIn, and they've changed the functionality somewhat because they really like people to use Sales Navigator, which is obviously a very powerful, excellent sales tool that LinkedIn has. But some people are still using the free profile. And in the free profile, you have a lot of functionality, but not as much, obviously, as if you pay, you know, for the next service up. But in the free profile, just add in as much as you can about yourself. And as long as you've got those keywords, you will turn up in search.
What else is critical in this profile fill out before we move on to things like posts? And I mean posts, not just, hi, I'm here today and I'm going well. I know I've written some articles of interest that I've done for other magazines and so forth, and I get a lot of traction off those posts.
Other sections that you must fill in are your education, qualifications and certification. If you've done some voluntary experience, then I would add that in as well because it shows that you're community focused and a lot of people like to see that as well. There's a section called skills and endorsements. Please add in your skills in that section because if you put sales or business development or relationship management or coaching or whatever it might be, that means those who are connected to you can endorse you for those. And the more endorsements you get, the more credibility again. So it sort of enhances the recommendations. The written recommendations are best to get. And then, of course, skills and endorsements are good too. If you've got many, many endorsements for a certain skill set, then even though some people tend to willy-nilly just endorse people for all sorts of stuff, you know that most people will find you, you know, very strong as a business development executive or a sales professional. So skills and endorsements, recommendations, having your education, voluntary experience, and also if you have been published, there is another section you can add called publications. So if you're article is online, you can add in the publication section where the article came from and the URL, so people can click straight through to it and read on Forbes.com or Sydney Morning Herald or wherever it might be where you've been published, that article directly. Again, more credibility. If you've worked on projects with another individual, then, you know, say if it was a building development project that you worked on and there were three or four agents working together, you can actually tag them in the project section and that project will come up in all of your profiles and you'll end up cross-promoting each other.
So that published section where you've had an article in the press or you've been on television, how do you access that? Is that through your profile or...?
Yes, well, for example, if you look at my profile and you scroll down, there's a section that says accomplishments. And in accomplishments, you can add publications, certifications, projects, honours and awards, etc. And so in the publications section, it's the section that you just add into your profile as well when you're in the edit function. You put in the title of the publication, and then you put down the publisher of the publication. And just an example here, I'm looking at one of my publications. So I have a title, it's called How to Follow Up on a Job Application Without Looking Desperate. So this is an article that I had published on the Huffington Post. And so the next field is publication publisher. So I put down the Huffington Post. Then you put the publication date when it was actually published. You can then put in the field that says publication URL, the URL to that publication, and you click save. And that means when someone goes to that section, they'll see that publication URL, they can click on it and it'll push it straight out to, in this case, it'll be the Huffington Post. So that's what you do. And once you've saved one, then you can put in all of the other publications in which you've been featured. It gives you a lot of credibility. And what I hope is you'll also have that if you've got a website on your website too. You can actually direct traffic to that publication via your website and via LinkedIn. And all this sort of viral marketing of yourself or your business or whatever you've written all helps to generate more hits when it comes to a Google search as well.
For an example, let's say someone's written an article for the press. They could do, as you've just suggested there, and link that all up. Or you can cut and paste that text and do your own post on LinkedIn. What's the go-wrongs or go-rights with that?
When you're in the homepage on LinkedIn, right up at the top on the homepage, it says share an article, photo, or update. And so if it's an update, it could be, you know, sharing someone else's content, for example, which would be quite nice as well. But there's that section there which has a little pencil that says write an article. And so when you click on that, that's when you can actually write your own article that will be published on Pulse on LinkedIn, which is the LinkedIn publishing platform. And you can write an article directly into Pulse. But what would be better is if there is an article, say, in the press, it's something that you've written and you've got your tagline there or something that you want to share, you can copy and paste it into the body of that article section where you actually create your own article. But I would always suggest that you mention article originally featured in and then the Huffington Post or Sydney Morning Herald or whatever it might be with the actual URL straight to that article, and then you can have text of the article in your post, and you can have the entire article, or maybe you can have half of the article, and you can put a for more read click here, and you can make that a clickable link that will take you straight to that article as well. But to add, you know, some images, make sure if you're going to add images that you have paid for the license to use the images or they're your own creation. I'd suggest at the bottom of the article, write down a little bit about credibility of who you are, and, you know, for more information, contact Lee Woodward at your website, and that would be very helpful. Then you just click publish and it's off and away. But once you've published it though, I would suggest you copy that URL and share it into your groups that you may have joined on LinkedIn, because for real estate agents, if you've joined a number of different real estate groups, it's good to post it on those groups too, because you're going to be reaching, you know, more of your competitors or perhaps your target audience, and it'll just generate a little bit more buzz around your own brand.
What's some of the rights and wrongs in the general posting and sharing of information in the main newsfeed there? We consistently see agents who post a sold photo that they've sold a house, and people think, that's not what really this platform's for. What knowledge do you have there for us?
When you're actually posting your article, having a picture of that lovely home, I would have no objection to that. Having a good headline, it could be sold above, or top sale of the week or whatever, that would be fine. But always have a little bit of a comment as to why you're sharing it. It could be, you know, maybe negotiate, you know, really tough negotiations, successful, you know, it was a great result all around. And then people might think, oh, okay, that's a beautiful photo. What is it? Let me just have a look. Because perhaps, if you're lucky, someone else is looking for a similar type of property. But at least you'll be able to tell people that, oh, I actually specialize in prestige properties.
What are the go-wrongs?
The go-wrongs is posting 20 times a day on LinkedIn so that you really clutter up someone's feed. A no-no. Bad-mouthing another company would not be good either. Always be positive even about your own competition. If it's just continual self-promotion, that's not a good thing. General rule of thumb would be to post 3 or 4 articles of interest from other sites that might be education, and then have one soft sell of yourself and then one hard sell post. And so you're not just, you know, trying to say buy from me, buy from me, buy from me all the time. You're actually educating your audience that you know what you're talking about, and you're providing them value and interest when it comes to the content that you're sharing.
Now, Jane, I've noticed in your work, you've done an enormous amount of podcast work where, not dissimilar to what we're doing today, I'm interviewing you for the real estate industry, but you've interviewed all types of people around the world. Some very, very famous, some local to a certain community or business type. Explain the power of podcasting and how you've connected that to LinkedIn.
I can't tell you how much I love podcasting. It's great. And I started podcasting because I was at the gym when I was bored, and I started listening to some leadership podcasts. And I ended up thinking, oh, I feel like I almost know this person, especially when I started subscribing to some podcasts and they were in my ear for an hour, you know, every day. And I thought, oh, this would be a really good platform for me, because as a career coach, I'm actually on a mission to make careers guidance accessible and affordable to the world, which sounds almost impossible. However, I've managed to do it. First with my book, which is available as an ebook and a paperback book, but also through my podcasts, which are free. They're on iTunes, they're on Stitcher, they're on Buzzsprout, they're on my website. And when I started, it was to provide careers guidance, and podcasts were just myself speaking. And I decided my voice, me, you know, it's very soporific. So I thought I better start interviewing some other people. And it's great with the career advice. And people listen to it, and I get lots of lovely feedback. But interspersing it with interviews with other people, that's what has really helped the podcast to grow. So I started interviewing some professionals who've made amazing career changes. And then I found that everyone's got such a good story that I became even more excited about it. And I'll talk to anybody who is happy to share their story, who actually has an interesting journey, because I focus on transition coaching. So anyone who's transitioned from one industry to another, or has been a stay-at-home mum and wanted to get back to the workforce, or they worked in pharmaceuticals and they wanted to transfer over to FMCG or real estate or whatever, it's like, how did they make that career change? What was their career journey? What were the challenges that they experienced? How did they overcome it? What are they doing now, and what are their top tips for success? And so I found that those interviews inspire other people. And I'm now over 114 episodes, and I've got about 5 people lined up to be interviewed in the next 2 weeks as well. So I release one podcast every week. People know that it comes out on a Monday, and they always know that it's something interesting about careers or inspiration that they're going to get on a Monday morning.
Now, this has been a very common question in the audio waves of, Jane Jackson has got this great concept. She's interviewing people of her profession and connected to the journey that you actually do help people transition. But the simple question's been, how do you get it on iTunes? Because you can't just record straight into it. How do you do that?
It has to be hosted on a site, and there's Libsyn or Burberry or Buzzsprout or SoundCloud. So lots of different platforms where you can actually host a podcast. And once you get it hosted and you upload your recording onto that host site, each site actually has a link that you can follow that tells you how to get it onto iTunes or Stitcher or whatever it might be that you want to get onto as well, Google Play. But Google Play isn't in Australia just yet. And then once you've linked your host site to iTunes and Stitcher Radio, etc., then within about a week or so, it'll be live, and then there you are, bang, up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And once you've got that, then you can either share the link directly from your website or from Buzzsprout or SoundCloud, Libsyn or Burberry yourself, or people can click on Stitcher Radio and iTunes, which is Stitcher Radio and iTunes. It's like a library, you know, so they can go there, you can go and you can have a look at, you know, different podcasts or music or whatever it is that you want, but they don't actually host it. It's a site where you can get to download them, but it's actually hosted on a separate site. I'm not sure if I was very clear with that, but basically you need to host it on one site, and from the hosting site, then you get it out to the distributors, which is iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Have you connected that to LinkedIn?
Well, what I do is I have on my website, when you have a look at my summary section, within each section on LinkedIn, it gives you the chance to add links. And so I have one of my first links is my podcast. And so at the bottom of my summary, you just click on add media and you copy and paste the URL into there, and it uploads it. And as you can see on my website, there's the image of my podcast image. It says Your Career Podcast and Top Tips for Career Success, and you click on that and it takes you straight to iTunes.
And that's what I found really powerful about your LinkedIn account. And Jane, you and I are in the same field technically, we're just in different worlds of application. But I went to your LinkedIn account and thought, wow, pick up your game here, look at this, which was just fantastic. I was blown away, hence I wanted to do the interview, because every profession has an interest in its profession. So for us here at Real Estate Academy, this year is our 18th year of an 80-minute audio a month. And after 18 years of audio, we've got thousands and thousands of completed interviews that we now run a cocktail machine where we'll slice those up into brand new shows, because The Best of John McGrath has just been released in a program called Sawdust. And my whole interest of doing that is every brand new agent who's joined real estate in the last 5 years didn't hear the brilliance of John when he was selling, and most of them think it was recorded yesterday, and it wasn't. And it's just, there's something powerful about the recorded audio of the business world.
And also, because now if you're going to buy a new car, they've already got iTunes uploaded in there, and most people, when they listen to podcasts, it's either in the car or when they're at the gym or going for a run or walking the dog or doing something else, but they want to stay entertained. And it's such an easy way to absorb content, because not everyone has the time to sit down and read anymore. You know, we're all so very, very busy. But I'm just having a look at your LinkedIn profile now, Lee, which is a very good profile, lovely. However, you're missing something. May I comment?
Please do.
Because you've got a great photo, profile photo. You're there in your wonderful suit. You're looking really professional, and you've got your recording equipment, so that's great. Handsome fellow there, Lee. But now your background photo, it's a beautiful blue sort of colour, which is nice, but that's an opportunity for you to brand yourself as well. So either, you know, you could have some pictures of you speaking into a microphone, or you at an auction, or you training your sales professionals, you know, you in action. That would make such a difference. And then, I mean, you're author of the Complete Salesperson course. Why not have a picture of your book and your DVDs and all of that sort of thing there as well? Your summary is good, really good. And you've got a link to the Complete Real Estate Success Program, which is a great program. I had a look through it, actually. So interesting. But where's the video of you speaking, Lee? You've got a beautiful voice. You've got a nice face. I would like to see, look, do I like Lee Woodward or not? If I'm going to go in for this training program, I want to see you in action. So why not a little video of you going, hi, I'm Lee Woodward. This is what I do. Love to get to know you. Just, you know, quite casual, but warm. That would be nice, because then it'll be, you know, or if you like this video, why not come over to my website, which is this, giving you a URL, and then people might want to just click through and visit your, you know, it'll drive traffic to your website as well. Oh, you've written lots of articles. That's fantastic. Make sure you share them absolutely everywhere too. And underneath each of your professional experience roles you've had, you've got one media item, which is great because it gives you credibility. But there's space for two or three or even more. But why not put two? If space is there, you may as well fill it, don't you think? Mm. Give people more to click on. People just love clicking on video. In particular now, when it comes to marketing, video is just, it's just taken off like crazy. You know, there's Facebook Live, there was Snapchat before, there's Twitter Live now. LinkedIn's encouraging video on their site too. So I think it's a missed opportunity if you don't include a little bit of you, even if it's just, you know, you can shoot it on your iPhone in a quiet place with good lighting and upload it, say, onto YouTube or Vimeo first, and then you can share it. If you have it on YouTube and you put in your alt tags and keywords in there, you'll be searchable on YouTube as well. So there you go. Win-win all around.
Great summary. And what's fascinating is those elements are all available in other parts of our sites, but we don't bring them into LinkedIn and say, well, there's a piece of a live clip of myself at ARIC, which is the biggest conference in the country. And here we are in professional marketing. And the reason this interview even exists is LinkedIn is such a great leverage tool, but it's actually a place you can bring it all together. Because most people have all these elements or pieces of the puzzle, but they're not visible and their future audience can't gain visibility.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of the day, you want people to visit your website because it's on your website where people can book in for an exploratory conversation or sign up for a course or find out about all of the events and speaking gigs that you've got coming up. And so,
final question for you, and it's got two layers to it. Everything we've discussed today is a very powerful and professional way of presenting you, your brand, your thoughts, your vision to the next person you're generating business with or future opportunities. My question is in the area of business etiquette or LinkedIn etiquette. I've seen people post swear words in like a little banner. I've seen them have links to things that just aren't part of the business world. What's your view on this?
Oh, I would remove all of that right away because LinkedIn is a professional networking site. Treat it as such. This is not, you know, Snapchat or, you know, just Facebook with friends. This is a professional networking site. So whatever you put onto LinkedIn needs to be relevant to your professional audience so that, you know, you're adding value to their lives. You're educating them on what you can do and also educating them on what they might be interested in your area of expertise. All that personal stuff and swear words, definitely not a good look because it brands you in the wrong way as well.
What do you see as the difference? And I know there's an obvious difference in the themes, but the difference in the themes between business people posting on LinkedIn versus Facebook?
If you're on Facebook, you can have a business page on Facebook, which is the professional side, and then you can have your personal profile, which is your personal one. What I like to do is, even on my personal one, people know what I do for a living. And so some of my posts I would publish, and it's to do with my work, and I make those posts public so anyone can actually search for them. But then if it's private and it's for my family and friends only, I switch the posts so that the visibility is only to my friends. So not everyone can see it. But I never post anything that would be detrimental to my reputation. It really is just, you know, sharing family photos with family in my personal page. But on my business page, which is basically Jane Career Coach, that's the name of the page, it's everything to do with my coaching as well. And very often I will post a new blog post and share it onto my Facebook page, and I will share that same blog post onto my LinkedIn as an activity update, and I'll share it onto Twitter as well. And that way it compounds the marketing effect and drives more traffic, again, back to my website. But I would say with your personal Facebook page or profile, to keep it private if you're just going to be using it for your private stuff, because you can change the visibility of each post.
Jane Jackson, incredible information. I was about to say, how do people get hold of you? But that is a real simple question now because we can find you on LinkedIn. But for those that people want to contact you directly, how do they get hold of you?
Okay, well, they can email me at jane@janejacksoncoach.com or my website is janejacksoncoach.com.
Jane, great information. Thank you for joining us on the Real Estate Hot Topics program.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks, Lee.
If you'd like to find out how coaching can help you, visit janejacksoncoach.com, where not only will you be able to listen to other fascinating interviews from professionals who've made amazing career changes, you'll also be able to download some free ebooks and guides on how to manage your career effectively.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my Career Success Program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.